Hey, you're listening to Terry Telford, and we're very lucky to have Terry Levine with us today. We're going to be doing a network marketing workshop with Terry. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, Terry Levine is actually a world-renowned business coach and a very, very successful entrepreneur. Now, she's written several best-selling books, and she's regularly featured on TV and radio shows. Now, she's really got a very serious track record of helping entrepreneurs build million-dollar businesses in very, very short periods of time. And she's also a professional network marketer. And that's what we're going to talk to Terry about today. So without me stealing your fire, Terry, maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Terry. Good to be here. Well, I went to college to be a speech-language pathologist. And I started in the field and knew instantly that that really wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was just, you know, you have to go to college, you have to pick something. And I got very lucky. I got good at business. I developed my own speech clinic, and then we were doing occupational therapy and physical therapy. And here's the luck. One day a guy walks in the door. He says he's from a rehabilitation company and he wants to buy my business. So in my early 20s, it was so cool. Here I am in my early 20s. He bought my business, and now I have a pile of money, and I go, oh, now what do I want to do? And here's what I decided, Terry. When I was a young child, I grew up rather in a poor family. And we moved up to the middle class when I was about in the fifth grade, but we moved into a neighborhood that was well above our means. And so whenever I would go to children's houses in the neighborhood, they would have this beautiful artwork on their walls, and we had nothing. And I started to feel intimidated by it. So when I have this pile of money here, I go, what do I want to do? And what I wanted to do was serve people by helping them get art no matter what their social class and enjoy it. So I started a network marketing business. And I didn't really know a lot about network marketing, but I thought about this business, and I thought, if I'm the only one going into people's homes and doing these art shows with these paintings, I can only reach X number of people. And the only other way to do it is duplication, so train other people to do what I did. And the short version is, some 8 years later, that company was bought out by a person who was retiring as the president of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Wow.
So that was pretty awesome. And we grew that company. My husband eventually had to come help me because it was growing so big. Started with zero, and we built that up to $12
million. Oh, wow. Run me through that process, Terry. How did you do that?
Truly through duplication. Here's what I did. I went to various events that I hosted, which were, you know, are you in a career that's miserable and do you want to make more money? Come learn how. And I would do these events in a hotel, and I would speak, and I would train, and I would be very passionate. And people would have the opportunity to sign up to be trained by me to become an art consultant and to be able to get the art to bring to people's homes. Then, Terry, when I had enough of a network, I'd bring up other people to speak who had a different story than I had. And as the company just continued that way, with me constantly supporting and training people and coaching people, I was very interactive with every single person in the company, and that's how it grew.
Okay. And you were developing as a network marketing company?
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So you have that's actually a completely different perspective than the majority of the people have that are actually representatives or affiliates or distributors for network marketing companies.
Yes, and this was an interesting experience to really take a company at startup and say, you know, what's the best method of getting it out there, and really knowing nothing about network marketing, but knowing I needed more people like me, and then developing a system which would financially give people great gain as well, so that as everybody, you know, was growing, the company was growing.
Excellent. Now, maybe we should take a little step back and really, if you can explain exactly what network marketing is, the kind of the nuts and bolts of it.
Okay, this is how I see it, and different people may say different things. To me, network marketing is using networking, which means other people. It means a network of people, groups of people, to market a product or service. So rather than selling something in a store, or rather than selling it just through a company that I own, let's say on the internet, I say, you know what, if I duplicate and there's more people doing what I do, we can serve a greater market. And to me, that is network marketing.
So how do you end up going out and finding these people?
Oh, everybody asks that question. It's actually very easy, and I'll tell you why. If you come from being passionate, this is key, so I hope people breathe that in, passionate about your product or service, it's very easy to talk about it or show it. So I'll give you an example. I am absolutely passionate about USANA, one of the network marketing companies that I'm involved with. I take all the products. I think they're great. So I start on the products. I say to my husband, you know, these products are really helping me and they're supposed to be good for diabetes. He says, okay. So he signs up. Then he goes to work and he's taking the products and people say, what are you taking? And he tells them. So people are signing up from his work. Then I'm at a conference or I'm at a meeting and I have my USANA glass and I'm drinking out of it and people say, what is that? And I talk to them about it and they sign up. So it's coming from authentically using the products or services because you personally are passionate about them, and then very easily and effortlessly sharing that with others.
Okay, so you're really, when you're out in the workplace, out in you know, the kind of out in the world doing whatever you do, you just have whatever product that you're representing. You have the t-shirt, the button, the hat, the glass, all that kind of thing, and really promoting the product side of the business.
I recommend, and this is my experience, promoting the product side and only the product side to begin with. I do not say to people, oh my gosh, I have a business opportunity for you. This is going to be great. I say, you know, I'm using this product. It's really making me feel great, giving me more energy. My husband's diabetes levels are intact. I'm losing weight. He's losing weight. You know, it's a cool product. Then, after they're in and they fall in love with the product, it's very easy for me to go back and talk about the business opportunity. What I believe, Terry, is that many people are so concerned with the business opportunity of things that they actually are chasing away potential business partners because those people are not passionate yet about your product or service.
Okay, so was there any time that you would actually focus on the business side?
Yes, and I'll tell you when. I put tiny little ads in the paper and on the internet for people who are looking for a business opportunity. And then with those people, I will have them fill out kind of a screening form. I call it a VIP application. And then they fill out the application, and I literally interview them. And at the end of the interview, we determine if it's a good fit. And if it is, they come in as a business partner.
Okay, what kind of questions do you ask on the interview?
Oh, that's great. I ask them about what their interests are, what their background is, why they want extra money, what they would do with it, how comfortable they are speaking with other people, what their fears are. I ask them what their goals and visions are. I ask them how many hours a week they have to give to a business. And I ask them if they have the financial resources to commit to a business. Those are the basic questions.
Okay. So if they go through some of the questions and they're not comfortable with talking to people, they don't have any money at all, you know, basically they kind of flunk the interview.
Exactly.
What do you, how do you kind of gently tell them that you're not so interested?
Well, you do have to be gentle. I'm glad you mentioned that. I, you know, I will say, you know, from what I'm seeing, it's not a fit because, and I'll give them the reason. It may be you don't have the financial resources, you don't have the time, you're too afraid to talk to people. And then I suggest maybe they come in trying the products and get real comfortable and excited about the products, and then we can talk about the business aspect again later.
Okay. Now, what about from the other side? You've got somebody interested in the products. They sign up and say, yeah, I want to get the products now. Do they sign up as a distributor so that they can buy the products at retail, or do they continue to buy the products directly from you?
I have them all sign up as a distributor.
Okay.
I think it's very, very important that they save money. It doesn't make sense to me for them not to, and I've really looked at this financially. It's just crazy, because what I've had happen is I had one person in the very beginning who said, no, I don't want to come in as a distributor. So they came in, and about a month later, they called me up, and they said, I'm spending so much money on product, I could have, you know, saved a lot. And I was like, yes, exactly. So I really just have folks come in immediately as a distributor explaining the difference in the price they would be paying. You know, even over a couple months' usage, it just doesn't make sense to come in any other way.
Okay. So either way, whether it's product or whether it's the business side, they come in as a distributor.
Exactly.
So then how do you, it makes it a fairly simple transition then, I suppose, from going from product, you know, right into the business side of things once they get excited about the product because they're already a distributor.
Exactly. And it's really easy for them, too, because if they're using the products and they're really using them, you know, you use them in public, you use them around family, at picnics, whatever, just because you really use them, very easily people will ask questions and be attracted. So it's very easy, in my experience, to build a business.
Okay, so what about now the people that are using the products? Do you wait for them to come to you and say, oh, well, you know, now I see that there's a business opportunity here as well? Or do you go back to them and kind of broach the subject and say, you know, I know you're in love with the products, and there's also, you know, the other side of the business too?
Great question. Well, I do a couple of things. When I believe they will have gotten their products delivered the very first time, first of all, I ask them to call me when they come. Most of them don't. So they forget all about that piece.
Yeah.
So I kind of guess when I think it'll get there, and I'll call up and I'll say, you know, did they get the products yet? And then I'll, you know, literally ask them to open the box with me on the phone, and I'll explain what they got and how to use all the products again. And then I'll say, would it be okay if I call you in a couple weeks to see how you're doing on the products and answer any other questions? All of them, in my experience anyway, have said yes. I make that call, very simple. How are you enjoying the products? Are they working? What questions do you have? And then I will say to them, you know, if you're thinking about being on the products long term, which is what's recommended, you might want to think about being a distributor, and you might want to think about, you know, really thinking of this as a business opportunity, as passive income. What I explain more than anything, Terry, is the reason that I so firmly believe in passive income. And if it's right for them, great, and if it's not, also great.
Okay. Now, what do you explain to them exactly about the passive income side?
Well, here's where I come from. Most of us have had JOBs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the world today, many people have been fired, laid off, companies have closed. You think you have job security, and one day, in a flash, everything can be gone. And I have seen this in my own personal life, and I've seen it with probably 100 different clients in different walks of life. And I just don't think anybody needs that kind of stress or pressure. I also believe that if we work, by the time we get to retirement, we'll probably still have no money set aside. That's just the way things are going. My husband's a financial planner. We've spent lots and lots of time looking at these kinds of things. The reason I have passive income is, first of all, you know, if I want to go away and lay at a beach in Tahiti, I can. Money still comes in. I ruptured my Achilles several months ago and was in a lot of pain and couldn't work. That was okay. Even though I wasn't working at my coaching business where I exchanged my time for money, the passive income kept flowing in. So in my experience, having passive income and multiple streams of passive income really keeps you in a place where you don't have any worries, where you know that the money is still going to be coming and flowing, and where you feel very comfortable in knowing that your finances in the future will be well cared for.
Now, you mentioned something there that's quite interesting. You have multiple streams of passive income. Are you working with several different network marketing companies?
Actually, I am, and I do other things for passive income, but I work with several because I take two products from two different companies. One company does not have anything like the other company offers, and I really believe in this other product, and I need it. So when I started taking that product, same thing. People started seeing it, hearing about it. I said, duh, I need to be a distributor. So I do represent both companies. I don't cross-sell similar products. I sell one product for one company, and I sell other products for USANA. And in addition, I have other streams of passive income. I have, things that people can download automatically on the internet. I have ebooks, all kinds of things like that that passively happen as sales.
Okay, so how do you decide then? You have two health related products, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
How do you decide when you're going out, for example, like you said, when you're in a meeting, you have one cup that has the company that you're representing. How do you decide which cup it is you're going to be using that day?
It's a great question. Well, the things that I have from USANA are actually supplements. They're drinks and vitamins. So I take my vitamins and I take my drinks at breakfast and lunch, and I take USANA snacks. So that's what you would see. I take what's called Bios Life from Unicity, and I take that at night before my dinner. And so there's very clear, distinct times that I use these products in my own life, and that's how people will see them naturally.
Okay. So if you have dinner guests, they'll see the other product?
They will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some people even ask, they'll say, oh, don't you do that other drink? And I'll say, yes, that's what I drink for breakfast and for lunch. This is what I drink before dinner, and I'll tell them the reasons why I take that drink and how it works.
Excellent. Now, if we go back just for a minute now, you have, if we're looking at the business side, you run ads in just the local newspaper, or where do you run ads?
Oh, good question. I try and run ads in like-minded publications. So I want to run ads where people are concerned about health and wellness. And I live in the Philadelphia area, and there's several magazines about creating health. There's a yoga magazine. There's a body and soul type of a magazine, and those are my audience. So that's where I will put ads. I don't just do general ads in the local paper.
Okay. Now, what would one of these ads say?
Typically, it would say something like, for one of the companies, overweight, feeling like you want to lose weight and don't know how, ever thought that losing weight could actually make you money? Call for this free report immediately.
And then they call, and what happens?
They call, and they actually go into a voicemail, because I know that people like to hide below the surface. They don't want to raise their hands. There's like an iceberg, and they're underneath it. You know, they're hiding. And so if I said, call, let's talk, people are like, no, I don't want to talk. But they'll talk to a voicemail. They'll listen to a message, and there's a very short message. It's like a minute. And then it says, if you have any interest at all, leave your name and number, and we will send you the report. Then we send the report. And then after we send the report, we send a little questionnaire to see if they got value from the report. And then we offer them a free consultation to assist them in putting the tips in the report to use. And those that take the consultations are the people we begin to speak with and become our hot leads.
Now, what kind of a report would this be? What's in the report?
The report first gives them tips and techniques for losing weight. So it would really talk about why we have fat cells and why fat cells don't respond to various kinds of diets and why when we eat less and eat less calories and lower meals, we actually set up a yo-yo dieting cycle, and how this one doctor discovered using the glycemic index, how you can lose weight. We talk a little bit about that. And then we end the report by saying people are now using these shakes and following this glycemic index and losing weight and getting paid to do it. If you're interested in getting paid to do it, fill out the following, and it's a little check form that they send back.
So they send it in the post or in
everything's
electronic?
Everything's email.
Okay.
Electronic, yes.
Okay. Excellent. So it's like a little, almost a three-step process then?
That's correct.
And then after you get the report or the checklist back, then you call them up and say, okay, now we're going to go through an interview, or that checklist is the interview?
That checklist becomes the phone interview. So when we get on the phone, I now know quite a bit about them.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, how overweight they are. I know what health problems they have, like diabetes, for example. So I know what their goals are, and I also know about some of their financial goals and what they want to earn and achieve. And I also know if they can make a decision without an additional partner involved.
Okay. Why is that important?
Because I won't spend time with somebody on the phone who's not willing to make a decision or not capable. I will say to them, I need you to be the sole decision maker in this process. And if you're not, you know, then we need to do this jointly with your other partner.
Okay. So that you've got the actual decision makers on the phone.
Exactly. I don't want to waste time. This is all about using my time efficiently and speaking with the highest level of potential prospect that I can. And I don't want to build my business on people who are what I call tire kickers.
Yeah.
You know, they just get in and do nothing. I'm not interested in having thousands of people. I'm more interested in having a group of people who are very, very serious and dedicated and that know that I'll fully support them.
Excellent. Now, what kind of training would you do with these people after they, you know, sign up with the company? And a lot of people in the network marketing industry feel that that's the goal, get them to sign up. But there's so much more after that. What happens after the fact? You've got them signed up, and then what?
That's a great point. What I did way back when I knew nothing with this art business, was I started to create a training program. I actually called it coaching, even though I didn't know coaching existed. And I would talk to the people on a very regular basis. I would have them fill out at first this kind of long goal sheet, and then I would have them fill out a sheet that was like a commitment sheet. And then each week we'd set goals, and I would hold them accountable, and I would do training with them. Now, that was 10 years ago. No, that was way more. That was 20 years ago. Boy, oh boy. But now, how time flies. But nowadays, what I do is everything is automated. So they're getting what I call coaching lessons by audio. They're getting it by telephone. They're getting it by email. They're getting it by special report. And in addition, I have someone who does the coaching directly with them so that they are helped and supported all the way through. Anytime they get stuck, you know, if they have a question about can this kind of a person use the product, or, you know, is it medically safe, whatever, there's a whole team of people who can support and help them.
Fantastic. So is this a support team that you've put together, or this is from the company?
This is actually through my wonderful upline, and it is not something that goes on in every upline in the company.
Right.
I am just very, very fortunate that the folks that I have also believe in coaching and training and supporting. And I have to say, I've gotten more support than I've gotten in anything in my entire life with one of these organizations. It's amazing.
Now, that sounds cool. If we go back just for a second, you send people from an ad to an answering, is it an answering machine or an answering service?
It's actually an answering machine. It's a voicemail system that we use. It's an 800 number, an 877 toll-free number that they call and they listen to this recording.
Now, is that important to have a toll-free number, or is that kind of
In my experience, it's important because you don't want to just grow your organization locally. You want to grow your organization nationally or globally, so that if one, let's say, economy is off a little bit for whatever reason, you know, another economy will pick up. And so in my experience, it's better to grow broader and deeper.
Okay. Now, when you're promoting, are you promoting more the Terry Levine brand, or do you promote directly as a distributor of Product X?
Oh, good question. I really am promoting the Terry Levine brand. And I'm promoting the Terry Levine brand based on the support and the coaching, based on how I chose these products, based on getting people involved through my story. And I find in network marketing what people do wrong is they are promoting the brand, and without some personalization and without you becoming the brand, I think it's very difficult to build the business.
So how do you go about that? What kind of steps are you taking to build Terry Levine as when somebody answers an ad, for example, in the magazine or from a magazine, they go to your answer machine, what kind of message are they going to hear?
That's a great question. The message that they will hear will say something like, and I'm trying to like reproduce it in my mind, you know, thank you for calling. I'm so glad that you're interested in whatever it might be. We are currently hiring people as distributors of a product and would be interested in doing an interview with you if you have interest. And you can also get your free report by going to, and then we give them the link, and we say if you have an interest in knowing more about the product or in losing weight, please leave a brief message.
Okay, perfect. So is that the only advertising you're doing, or are you doing other marketing for the business side as well?
You know, that's the main advertising that we're doing. I have found that, in my experience, that is working extremely well. Some of my downline are doing ads on the Internet. Some of them are doing what are called, I call lead generation boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a such as. You go, let's say my product goes really well with people who want to lose weight. So let's say I go to a local fitness center and I say, you know, I have an offering for all of your members. It's free. So everyone who's a member of your fitness center gets a free report on, you know, 10 things they can do to lose weight and keep it off. Would your members value that? They typically say yes. Go back to my car, bring in a box that looks like a ballot box. And it says on the outside, you know, get a free special report on the 10 tips, blah, blah, blah. And then there's just little cards that go with it that say name, address, phone number, email, best time to contact you. And that gets put with a pen or pencil on the front counter. And once a week you go back, you pick up all the leads, and you make sure that they get the reports, and then you start that cycle, the same exact cycle.
Fantastic. So how do you actually get the health club to, you know, put that there? Do you reward them with some sort of incentives or?
Great question. I personally don't. I find that the incentive is that their members are getting something free. But some of the folks that I've trained do some other things. They will give them a percentage of the people who buy products or people who enroll as distributors. So some of them are doing financial. I haven't had a need to do financial.
You just work on your personality.
Yeah, you just be sincere and passionate. And, you know, most of these places are like, great, you know, that's something that we're, and I'll give them the report and say, you know, do you think this was valuable? And they say, yeah, people would love to have this. Well, great, it's a gift to all your members.
Cool. Now, what kind of results have you achieved? I mean, what you've been, I can't even remember what the company name is, the one that you take the glass with you.
USANA.
How long have you been with that company?
I think about 6 months now.
Okay, so it's a fairly short period of time.
Yes.
What kind of results have you had with it?
Actually, I've had great results. I've been getting a check from that company every single week since I joined. There's not one week that I have not gotten a check. I have moved up two levels already. I'm just about at the third level. So my compensation is going to go way up at that third level. And, you know, I can't tell you numbers of people in my organization, but I can tell you this organization basically has two legs. I can tell you both my legs are growing. All of my people are staying. All of my people are getting support. All of them are on the products. All of them are finding other people that are very interested in the products. So we are building, you know, our own little mini company, and that's how I view it. It's like we're all in this together, and this is like our mini USANA that we're growing together as a team.
Now, you just said something really key there. You said your people are staying.
Yes.
Why?
It's the coaching. It's the support. It's, you know, are you taking the products? Well, you need to take the products. Let me tell you what to order. Let me tell you when to take it, how to take it. I want you to call me in 2 days with your results, you know, because you will get results in a couple of days if you're on the products. Let's brainstorm on where you can be using the products. Let's brainstorm on friends or family that you know that might be overweight or have diabetes. And they just get that kind of intense support. And because of that support, They're very comfortable staying. Actually, everybody in my organization is excited about being a member.
So are you working with these people one-on-one individually, or are you working, like you said, you give them an audio training session?
Great question. They get the audio training session. They get a written training session. My upline, who is doing the coaching, was actually just doing everything individually. And because my organization has grown so large, I've said to them, that doesn't make sense. So I now have taught them how to do group coaching, and actually starting next week, they will be group coaching.
Okay, yep. And now,
you can't grow and do individual.
No, exactly. Now, explain group coaching. How would you work something like that? For example, like you said, you can't tell us how many members you have in your organization, but let's say on the low side you have 100 members. How do you coach 100 members at a time?
It's actually pretty easy. You get a telephone bridge line where you can have 100 people or more, and there's lots of them on the Internet for free. You can find those. And you invite them to the call, and I invite them several ways. I send them an email, and I also have somebody call them and say, you know, there's a call Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Please make sure you're on it. I also record that call, so if anybody missed it, I send out the link, and they can listen to it, or people can hear it again and again. When people get on the call, I basically take a few moments just to set the intention of the call. I ask people to mute their phones so that we don't have all that background noise. And then I will tell them the topic of the call. And then I will do a little bit of training, about 10 minutes, on whatever that topic is. And then I will ask anyone who feels comfortable asking a question or sharing something about this topic. The person shares, and then they get coaching. When you're coaching one person, Terry, I believe you're coaching the whole group, because human beings are the same. We have the same DNA. We have the same kind of questions, the same fears, the same concerns. So I really encourage everyone to get coaching through the people being coached. And then I'll teach a little bit more on the topic and coach someone, and that's the format. And at the end, I'll take just any general questions.
So how do you go about coaching a whole group then? That, I mean, some people maybe... for example, if I just joined your company last week, but the coaching call is for everybody. I just joined last week, but there's other people who have been with you for 6 months. How do you decide on a topic to be able to kind of cover both areas or both aspects or both types of people?
Good question. The reason we'll cover both aspects is people will ask different questions in their coaching. Like if you were a newbie, you'd probably ask something different, like, I don't understand when I'm supposed to take these and how many scoops do I take or whatever it may be. Whereas a more experienced person might say, I'm not sure exactly where to put this person when they come on, you know, right side, left side, how do I do that? So the new person is learning what they need to hear. The older person is getting a refresher and also learning what kinds of questions newbies ask. And at the same time, everybody is learning from everybody's questions. I feel it's a good mix, and I would not divide them up into like experienced group and inexperienced. For me, it works better to have everybody there, and the group synergy, I feel, really helps people move ahead.
So what kind of topics would you cover then?
Topic could be understanding the nutritional side and being able to explain it. Topic could be how best to use the product for weight loss. Topic could be how you grow your business in an easy, effortless way. A topic could be, you know, where to put people when they come on. A topic could be a fiber cleanse. I mean, I go on and on. There's so many different kinds of topics.
So do you have a plan, you know, for kind of 3 months ahead? You're going to talk about this on Wednesday, this on Saturday, that type of thing, or just decide, okay, Tuesday night, I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday?
Yeah, we decide kind of randomly based on some of the questions that we're hearing and what we're feeling, kind of getting our feelers out of that people have a need for. And so that's a topic we're putting up. Like we get a lot of questions we have in the last month about comparisons, the nutritional supplement guide comparing USANA to something else. And we got so many questions about it, we just added it as a coaching call.
Okay, perfect. So then, as far as other network marketing companies that you're representing, you represent the two in the nutritional field.
Yeah.
Do you also kind of round out a business where you have a lead generating company that's a network marketing company, maybe an advertising co-op, anything like that?
Interesting question. I have tried several of those organizations, and for me, the leads were really icy cold, and I didn't find that I got a lot of value from it, so I do not.
Okay. So it's basically the two main nutritional companies and working your own marketing, getting people really more involved as opposed to almost cold calling.
Exactly.
Okay. If we take a look at the network marketing industry as a whole,
mm-hmm.
in the general aspect, what sets network marketing apart from being a pyramid scheme?
Oh, I get asked that question all the time. Well, first of all, there's a lot of different definitions of pyramid scheme, but one of them is that there is truly no product or service. Okay, I won't mention this one's name that was very popular a few years ago in California, and they got in huge trouble. People got arrested. It was something where everybody put money in, and each week the money was going to go to, like, you know, person four, so we'd all split the money up with person four. There was no product or service. That's one. Number two, network marketing is a network of people all having the same opportunity to make the same kind of money, okay? Now, I personally think corporate America, where I've come from, is more of a pyramid scheme. Just think about this. The pyramid at the top is the CEO who makes the most money, and no one's going to come close to that money. And then you've got all the, you know, little people on the sides of the pyramid. So to me, network marketing is far from a pyramid because it's an opportunity where everybody can actually move up and make the same kind of income.
Excellent. Now, what about the industry standard? Within network marketing, the industry standard is about 3-5% of the people are being successful. What are you doing differently? Because your percentages and your standards are way higher than the industry average.
Yes, they are. First of all, I'm all about retention. I'm actually less about getting more people in than I am at retaining the people that I've invited to join my organization. I'm not just getting breathing bodies. I'm getting people I really want to work with, really want to support, and really want to build a company with me, a mini company, as I call it. And they're getting this massive amount of coaching and support. What I have seen in other organizations that I've belonged to, network marketing organizations, is a lot of talk about support and then not getting support. I have seen that the people in the upline are way more concerned about getting new people in than they are about caring for the people that are in. I believe those are two distinct reasons why many network marketers fail.
Excellent. Now, what about, if I decide, okay, I do want to come in from the business side, but I don't have a large circle of influence. I mean, I've been in network marketing for several years, and generally the first thing that happens when you come in is your upline or your sponsor says, make a list of everybody that you know. And
I don't do that.
Okay.
Let me tell you why I don't do that. First of all, people have so much difficulty, and they, you know, make a list of, like, some of them, like 20 people. And it's just been shown we all know at least 1,000 people through the 7 degrees of separation. I think this makes people very uncomfortable. I think it would make me uncomfortable if somebody I haven't spoken to, you know, in 2 years calls me up and says, I have a great product or opportunity. I personally think that whole method does not work. It didn't work for me personally when I started the art business, and that's how I thought you start, and that was just terrible. I got off to a terrible start the first week and said, that's not working. And instead what I did is I started driving the art around and showing my friends and inviting people in to look at the art, and then it took off. So use the same method. Just use your products wherever you may be, and if you're in the house a lot, get yourself out of the house with your products. I don't care if you go sit in a Borders and you use your products. People will start to notice and start to ask. Join a health club. Do whatever it is that you need to do that's aligned with your products. be using them. And it's not about having a large circle of influence. To me, it's about visibility in using the product and being in integrity with using it and not just telling other people how great it is and having them buy it while you don't really use it. To me, that's another reason people fail. So I don't care if you know three people, Terry. If you have passion, you can build a successful organization. In fact, you can be a true leader in business without knowing very many people.
Now, how do you go about, because you just mentioned a perfect example there, is I could become a leader in a business. How do you get somebody from the point of, let's say, for example, they've stayed at home maybe for 2, 3, 4 years to raise kids. A lot of it, you know, that kind of the atmosphere is just being at home. That kind of person, and I'm talking about, it could be male or female, how do you get that person to see themselves as a leader? Because a lot of the time they just kind of, they've been at home with the kids and, you know, they just can't see themselves as a leader.
I find that as well. On these coaching calls that we're doing, we will ask people who have been in business a little bit longer than others, and that could be, you know, 2 months more than most of the people, whatever it may be. We may ask them to do what we call co-coaching. So we may ask them to also coach the person. We'll coach them together. So they begin to dip their toe into what it's like to be in more of a leadership role. We might ask them to call their downline and go over something. So they're becoming more in a leadership role. And over time, and I'll tell you, it is not for everybody. I do not see everybody and say leader. I see some people that are just very, very comfortable where they are, and that's great. I need some comfortable people who love the products, use them, and bring on lots of customers. That's just great. But those people who we notice some leadership quality in, and it could be a stay-at-home mom. You've been a leader. Trust me. You've been a leader in your family. You've been a coach to your children. And so we really help get that point across. And we also, as coaches, build their confidence and build their self-esteem. That's a very important piece of the work that we do.
How do you go about doing that?
First of all, we truly listen to people. We acknowledge them for who they are and whatever it is they're accomplishing. We are with them as they set their goals, and we support them. Any baby step that they take, the tiniest thing, we're there to, you know, say great job, pat them on the back. And we're also there to assist them to get on the right track in a very loving way that helps build their self-esteem and confidence.
Excellent. Now, if you got somebody, if we go back to the prospecting side of things, you've got
okay.
somebody that comes in from an ad, they go through the process, they pass the interview. What's the next step? How do you transition from, okay, you've done really well in your interview, I think you're ready to get into the business. How do you transition that?
Pretty simply, we tell them exactly what you said. You know, you've really done well in your interview. We'll tell them why. You have this that we were looking for. You have that. So that they understand what's working. And then we will say to them, you know, we'd like to invite you in to become a member of our business. And we'd like to go over that with you and see if it's right for you. And then we describe the business and the compensation plan.
Okay. So up until that point, they actually don't know what business you're talking about.
Nope. They might. They know generalities. It's a nutritional supplement business. It's, you know, used for weight loss, diabetes, et cetera.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Terry, I think we've covered an absolutely huge amount of information. I think it's one of the most comprehensive network marketing conversations I have ever had with any network marketer, because I think what you've done is come at it from a completely different angle than I would say 99.9% of the rest of the network marketing community. And I think that's not only refreshing, but I think that is the real way of doing business, the real way of going about it, is looking at the product side of things. Doing it more almost like affiliate marketing.
Exactly.
I think that's fantastic. Is there anything you know, that maybe I've missed that you can think of that would help people who are listening to the call right now?
I would just say to people that network marketing is growing. It's growing in our economy, it'll probably be a mainstay of our economy over time. So if you haven't explored network marketing, it's worth looking into, and definitely you need a passive income stream or two or three. And at the same time, what I would also say is think about what products or services you need in your life. There's probably a network marketing company doing that, and that's the best way to go about network marketing.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, Terry. This has just been an absolutely fantastic educational experience, as well as just an interview and a workshop. You've been listening to Terry Levine and Terry Telford. Thanks very much for your time.